Roden Gill on a TGIF Friday, a very super busy Friday here in the Bay Area.
Back to the Bob Filner and the Anthony Weiner story, and this is less about them in a way than all the rest of us. Celeste Hirschman, an experiential sex and relationship therapist here in San Francisco, is on the line. Celeste, welcome. How are you?
Hi, thank you. I'm great. How are you?
We're fine. Let's start with Anthony Weiner. What a lot of us can't understand, and let's say, you know, Celeste has never analyzed him or had him at a workshop or anything like that. So we're all just kind of like working from other people. But what makes somebody, especially when it's obviously so risky to their career, not just to their marriage, but I mean, risky to everything that they seem to want in life, to do something to expose themselves literally that way?
Well, I think his pseudonym says it all. You know, he wants to be Carlos Danger, and I'm guessing what turns him on around sexuality actually has something to do with danger. If we look at what shapes people around their sexuality, it usually starts very young, what excites us about it, and it comes out of some experience in our childhood, some kind of conflict or difficulty mixed with arousal, and we get excited, and then that stays as our main core erotic theme. Jack Moore, and a local San Francisco sex therapist, coined that term. So I think he's excited about danger, and for that level of arousal, he's willing to take those kinds of risks.
Yes, but he's got this wife and child and career. I mean, couldn't he just pretend it's dangerous? You know, couldn't he play games with his wife?
Yeah, like, hello, honey, I am Carlos Danger.
I know. I think it would be wonderful if, you know, they could incorporate that somehow into the role play in their relationship. But I also think that a lot of times the monogamous paradigm and the belief that that's the only way, you know, that people are getting their needs met or all of their needs met that way isn't really realistic. And if you look around, if you look any day on Craigslist, you'll see people are trying to get a lot of different kinds of needs met. And I'm sure many of them are married.
But they're losing so much in the bargain.
Sometimes, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that people are doing it, and it might be interesting for us to look at it in a little bit of a different way, because now we think of it as so pathologized, and we say, oh, my God, you know, how could they do this? And then there's the script, which is the confessional and the forgiving wife who stands by her man, and I don't know. I mean, I think the thing that surprises me the most about this is that we're still surprised about it.
Well, I think what we're surprised about is not, I think probably for most people, the less they know about other people's personal lives, probably the better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it should be personal. Is when somebody puts themselves out, though, as a public figure, portrays themselves as a certain person, I guess to a certain degree, considering the frailties of humanity, to put yourself out is what we expect of somebody who is going to be marketed, which is really what our politicians are doing these days. You're just kind of asking for it. I mean, you just have to kind of like walk a certain line, or maybe this gig isn't for you.
Yeah, and you know, and I think a lot of people end up not being able to hold on to the gig because what they're actually looking for is something different than what that has to offer. You know, they're looking for excitement or a certain kind of power, and that's what they're really in it for in the end.
A completely different situation is Bob Filner, the mayor of San Diego, because in a way, I think this is something different. With Anthony Weiner, despite all the jokes, the embarrassment, and all of that, you're dealing with two consenting adults, and even more so, it's kind of role play and all of that. You know, whether people agree with that, disagree with that, it's all legal. Maybe embarrassing, humiliating, because it's all become public, but it's all legal. Situation with Filner, when you've got what really has been an extraordinary life, going back to the civil rights movement, and forcing yourself on unwilling people. That's a different order of things. Why would somebody want to do that? Because one thing is danger. The other thing is
criminal.
Is actually criminal. Headlocks and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, if there's not consent there, I think there's a huge problem. And, you know, unfortunately, for some people, that is what turns them on about sex. And I think there's a lot of healing that needs to be done there in order for people to not behave in that way.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about that.
So is it is it like kind of the way we're wired? Or as you said before when we were talking about Anthony Weiner, is it maybe the way we're introduced to sex by our parents or society, whether it's something that is attached to, I don't know, maybe power over other people in the case of Filner, or danger and risk at being caught in the case of Weiner, that there's some way we kind of start to associate what turns us on with our early sexual experiences that sets a pattern here?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And in his book called The Erotic Mind, Jack Moran talks a lot about that, and I do think it's shaped in our childhood. And so say you feel very powerless as a child, your fantasies might end up then being fantasies around power and taking power, you know, and especially if you had experienced some kind of abuse, you might want to turn it around and do that to other people. You know, that's why I say there's really some healing that needs to happen instead of just vilifying. I mean, obviously, yeah, these people have to be dealt with, but, you know, some way to work with them around those feelings and desires is really important. And I don't think that anything that people are usually getting in jail or something like that or prison is going to be helpful with changing those patterns.
And in the case of Anthony Weiner, and again, he's never been to any of your sessions or anything, yeah, like that. So we're, you know, not talking so much specifically, but with somebody who, Carlos, danger, the whole risk thing, maybe the early experiences or the way that sex was talked about around him when he was young made it always seem like something that was forbidden. And that was the turn on. Maybe if, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that could be one example. And sometimes, yeah, it's just sort of coincidence. Like, you know, children have arousal at young ages, and then something happens that's very dangerous and exciting at the same time as they're experiencing that arousal, and then it kind of gets wired in. So sometimes it's very specific around sex, and sometimes it's just sort of life experience. But it starts to become incorporated into our fantasy life as we try to work through it emotionally, and then it becomes the central theme of our erotic lives. And unfortunately, you know, we have very few scripts that we see out there in terms of what is appropriate, like passion or romance or feeling desired. But there are all sorts of other ways that people want to experience, all things that people want to experience around sex that are much less available or acceptable. And so that kind of goes underground. And then I think we see things like this happening.
Yeah, one of the problems with talking about this in terms of political figures and celebrities and all of that is it always is in terms of somebody who has pretty much wrecked their lives, not so much to a lot of people who might be listening or watching going, yeah, you know, I it's kind of part of my life. And instead of just the negative stuff, because it is negative, because we're talking about these specific people and what they've done to their lives and maybe the lives of people around them, trying to say, yeah, and maybe this is how they got there, and maybe this is how people who are dealing with life this way can work their way to something that might work better for them one way or the other, or at least with people who are completely consenting or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that everybody gets to negotiate their desires in a way that's consenting and safe and legal so that they can have that kind of enjoyment, you know, and yeah, not only the few that are generally allowed to us.
Celeste Hirschman is an experiential sex and relationship therapist here in San Francisco. Celeste, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
All right.